All right, guys, it's time for another installment of our semi-regular segment about that thing we said.
You mean that segment where we talk about the news of the past few months, stuff we've talked about in previous podcasts, news that might have changed, stories that might have developed, stuff we need to revisit, right?
That's the one.
Okay, so what are we doing in Laurel's car in a parking lot?
So we thought that we would bring this segment to a new location, a seasonally appropriate location.
So we bring you this special batting cages edition of About That Thing We Said.
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
Winter is finally over. Let's go hit some baseballs. All right, so just real quick, the rules of About That Thing We Said are the same as they always are, except that instead of using a cell phone timer in the studio, like we usually do, to set a hard limit on how long we can talk about it, this time we are just going to talk about a subject as long as the batting cages last.
The first topic is, the Democratic primary gets bigger? This is a recap of our 13 Days of Candidates podcast from December 22nd, 2017, and our Lost in a Crowd Live from Madison podcast from March 9th, 2018, where we talk about the gigantic Democratic field for governor. John Wilson is the first at bat in this podcast.
All right, guys, so we've talked about this thing a whole lot already. We've devoted several episodes to this, or at least several segments. What has happened? Why are we talking about this again? Oh, God.
Well, I think the whole gist of every time we talk about the Democratic field for governor, we're basically saying that nobody's ever seen a field this big before, and nobody's quite sure what that's going to mean for the race for governor itself. And so what we've seen now is instead of the field winnowing, that the field is potentially getting larger. And
well, it's sort of like it's winnowed and gotten larger at the same time. So we've had two people drop out, two kind of lesser known candidates, but we've had two people join the race within the past couple weeks, and one pretty like high profile person saying for the first time, yeah, I'm really considering getting in the race.
Somebody who in fact has run for governor twice in the last decade and lost twice.
Yeah, that's the big About That Thing We Said for this one is that Democrat Tom Barrett, the Milwaukee mayor, who ran for governor, lost in a Democratic primary back in 2002, lost in the general election in 2010, and lost in a recall election in 2012.
So he hasn't been the most recent one to lose to Governor Walker, but that would be Mary Burke. But now he's thinking about throwing his hat in again, or at least saying, I'm not thinking about it.
John's getting some good hits off here, by the way. You know, this is made for radio, of course. You'll have to take my word for it. But John's making some contact there.
It's interesting to have somebody as high profile. That's
it, by the way. Do we want to put in another token
put
for this
round? Put in another token. Okay. We have more to say.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Red light. Here we go. Red light means go.
All right, so what I was going to say was it's interesting that somebody kind of high profile like Tom Barrett is thinking about getting in at this point. And some people are saying that somebody like him getting into the race now says something about the strength of the Democratic field. You know, maybe like the lack of a front runner that's intimidating other people, keeping them from joining the race. You know, lots of people are saying, you know, I think I have something to add. You know, Tom Barrett's considering being that person.
Barrett add compared to anybody in the rest of the field, aside from experience in running this particular race?
Well, the thing is, it shows that he's not afraid of a front runner in there, that there's not like a person who is the given winner in all this. I mean, Tony Evers is basically the front runner in terms of the limited polling we've seen in this race, but it feels still potentially up for grabs. And if a Tom Barrett were to get in, just based on name recognition alone, he might do pretty well. I mean, this might be the year that he was able to emerge from the primary. And because it's, you know, such a potentially Democratic year, it could be the year that he finally beats Scott Walker in the general election. A couple other people got in the race, guys. Should we mention them?
Yeah, let's mention. So we know Josh Pade, who is an attorney who grew up or was born in Kenosha, has gotten into the race.
We're going to keep him in the technically running category. All right,
we're out again, but I'll let you guys, as I take off my batting helmet and such, finish this one up.
Okay.
All right, the other person who entered the race recently is, of course, liberal radio host Mike Crute.
And that would be interesting because he's not a shy person. Also, he's a radio host and has a forum where he can talk about this stuff. You know, we're not quite sure what that means for the race yet, having Mike Crute in there. And so there are now 16 candidates who are technically running. That's not counting Tom Barrett. The nine that we talked about in previous podcasts as being kind of the front runners, they're all still in there. And, you know, John Wilson says we're done batting, so wrap this thing up. All right, next up, me.
All right, guys, well, the next one is going to be, now that the snow is finally gone here in Wisconsin, we revisit the Snowball Podcast and Blue Wave. So we have Waving Hello to 2018 from January 19th, and we have A Snowball's Chance in November from April 6th.
All right, mostly I just wanted to do an About That Thing We Said on this one because I missed that podcast.
Yeah,
and I wanted
you were
to talk
like
about it, but
with,
I wanted
on vacation
to take
with
naps
your family
and
or something?
My kids that week also. So I thought you guys covered the ground pretty well that week on the Blue Wave and how everybody's talking about it. And when that happens, a message kind of spirals out of control. It snowballs.
I just wanted to add that. As opposed to softballs?
I think the thing to remember with that, though, is especially for Democrats, there's a risk to coming in and saying, you know, we're going to dunk on you. Like when mm-hmm. they come in and say, we're going to win. When Eric Holder comes in and says, we're going to win, in the past, you know, that would wake up the Republican base. The idea that Eric Holder is going to come in and try to beat Wisconsin Republicans freaks out Wisconsin Republicans and it wakes the base up. Like in the recalls, all the national attention galvanized the Republican base. So I like to think about it as like in baseball, okay?
Uh-huh.
I've been saving this on up, guys. All right. When a baseball is pitched,
yeah,
let's
or
say
in this case,
pitched,
a slow pitch softball.
These are being pitched at about, you know, 20 miles per hour or 15. So not a good example. But a baseball gets pitched. I have more to say, so I have to put another quarter in the machine.
Basically, we're just sort of abandoning the like really strict rules of the traditional About That Thing We Said studio format, because the batting cages are a little bit shorter than that. And also, batting is more fun than it is to sit there in a studio and have measured conversations about political issues. All right, so baseball analogy, Sean.
Okay, so a pitcher throws a fastball, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing I know that happens.
And it comes in fast. But the danger is, if a batter connects with that fastball, it's going to fly off the bat even faster, thanks to the laws of physics, which we won't get into here. But I looked it up, so it's true. When, you know, in the past, if Eric Holder came into Wisconsin and said, you know, we're going to win, it would actually potentially hurt Democrats mm-hmm. because Republicans would get more juiced up than Democrats would. So there's a risk to doing it. And I think Eric Holder coming in now and saying, we're going to win this election. This
pitch.
Is a blue wave. I think that's a show of strength from Democrats. There is a risk to it, but so far, feels like Republicans in 2018, in the special election for the 10th Senate District and the statewide election for state Supreme Court, they're not hitting that Democratic fastball. How about that? Huh?
That
I like
good.
It.
That's
my
very good.
That's like my special baseball analogy for the day.
He says as
analogy.
He just totally doesn't even swing at something that came across the plate.
That was a nice foul cut, though.
I mean, I'm curious, though. Like, I feel like Scott Walker is acknowledging that, you know, he's trying to warn Republicans and I think kind of trying to galvanize them, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the old playbook for him is, like, you talk about this stuff because it works. Who's talking about the blue wave more than Scott Walker? And it's because in the past that has worked for him. It may work again this year, but so far that feels like that message isn't getting through to his side. All right, I'm done with batting. Laurel, I can't wait to see you hit.
Yep.
You're up next.
It's time for this.
White is up to bat. She assures us that this is not a comfortable place for her to be.
No, but she's going to totally kill it. Ooh, that was a good swing, though.
She's grabbing the, you're grabbing the head of the bat. That's not a good, there you go.
Oh, there goes a pitch. Anyway, while Laurel figures this out, let's introduce our third segment. It's an update on Special Elections, the podcast we did the week that screamed Third Branch, that we did on March 30th, 2018, about how Scott Walker went through court, and his administration went through court processes to try and not have to call a special election in a couple of legislative districts, but ultimately got overruled and decided not to appeal to the state Supreme Court and decided to, in fact, call special elections. So, who's running in these special elections now, guys?
So, what's the update? We have candidates. They are on the ballot. It's certified. Oh, man, I left my paper list way over there, and I can't get it.
Hold on.
Oh, guys, that was a good one. Hit a good one.
Well, okay, let's go through the list of the candidates for the first state Senate district, because that's going to be the bigger race, probably watched more closely. Republican Alex Renard.
Mm-hmm.
Republican Andre Jacques. Democrat Caleb Frostman, and that's it. So there's going to be a primary election coming up in May.
May 15th.
Pay to play, Laurel. We have more to say. Right. We need another token.
Thank you.
All right, well, Laurel is feeding the meter there. We'll just rip through the candidates real fast
for the
42nd Assembly District. We know these candidates less well because, well, we just do. There's here four Republicans running: John Plummer, Darren Schroeder, Spencer Zimmerman, Colleen Locke Murphy, and Ann Groves Lloyd is the Democratic candidate.
All right, Laurel, pop that token in there.
Laurel is having a hard time with the token machine for the baseball pitching machine.
All right, so as you're swinging, you want to talk about Andre Jacques?
Yeah, Laurel, what did you have to say about Andre Jacques there?
So he is a current assembly representative. So we know about Andre Jacques, and we know kind of what some of his issues are. He's known for sponsoring a number of pro-life, kind of anti-abortion bills in the state legislature. He's also known as kind of his own man, right? Like, he doesn't necessarily follow the party leadership on some things. He'll cast a vote that's different than his Republican colleagues on occasion. So he's seen in some ways as not exactly like the Republican establishment candidate for this Senate race that he's running in.
I guess it's the difference between like the most established Republican, which is him, and Alex Renard seems to have establishment support. So for example, John Gard, a former Assembly Speaker Republican, a lobbyist who works for the road builders among others, is supporting Alex Renard. You know, we don't know where Senator Fitzgerald is exactly, but we do know this is former State Senator Alan Lissay. This is reported by WispPolitics.com. He ripped, quote, know-it-all Republicans in Madison. He said are putting their thumbs on the scale for newcomer Alex Renard in the primary. He said in a phone interview, again, with WispPolitics, Renard is probably a nice guy, but he also referred to him as a, quote, 24-year-old rich kid that does not know the district as well as Jacques.
All right, that's my second round is done.
All right.
While Sean puts this token in there, we're going to introduce the next segment, the last segment in our About That Thing We Said update. It's an update on the Paul Ryan seat, who's in, who's out, in reference to our podcast titled How Times Have Changed from April 13th, 2018, which was just a little bit ago. So, Sean, since Paul Ryan announced his retirement, what's changed? Laurel, you've been covering some of this too.
Yeah, so basically what's happened is there's been a winnowing of the Republican field on who's going to run as a Republican to fill this seat that Paul Ryan has held for nearly two decades. And there was a lot of speculation at first about people like Reince Priebus and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and whether they were going to jump into this race. They were kind of the high-profile, well-known people that were considered. And they have since bowed out, and there is a Republican candidate named Brian Stile that's gotten some support from establishment folks. He actually used to be a driver for Paul Ryan, so he's pretty connected to the Ryan family. And he officially announced his candidacy last weekend in Janesville.
And as somebody who's, like, if you guys have looked at races, not this particular district, because... although old man Sean Johnson has been around for a while, he hasn't been around as long to cover anybody being in that district, except for Paul Ryan. You got any thoughts on Brian Stile?
Yeah, here's my thought, is that he wants to run as this outsider, but he is absolutely the establishment choice at this point. You know, you guys mentioned his connections. His, I mean, he worked for Ryan. He was appointed to the Board of Regents by Governor Scott Walker, and he was a Republican delegate at the RNC convention in 2016 that officially nominated President Donald Trump. It doesn't get much more connected, really.
And I mean, the only other official Republican on the ballot at this point, it would be Paul Nealon, who's a white nationalist and who got kicked off Twitter.
There are a few others who are lesser known. And nothing's official yet because we haven't, like, got our signatures all circulated, but...
Oh, so nobody's actually officially on the ballot yet?
June 1st, we're going to know everything.
But he's announced at least, and it's like, you know, running a campaign.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Stile's going to be the guy for establishment Republicans. And we still don't know whether Peter Barca is going to get in this race for Democrats. Right now, it is... Randy Bryce and Kathy Myers duking it out in the Democratic primary. I did notice a fundraising email from Randy Bryce today, who went after Scott Walker in the fundraiser instead of Paul Ryan. So he's kind of lost that big fundraising machine. Running against Paul Ryan is a great way for a Democrat to raise money. And now he's kind of pivoting to other Republicans. Brian Stile is Scott Walker's choice.
Yeah.
That's kind of where they're going to go with this thing.
And is that going to be as fruitful for him in terms of fundraising and rallying the Democratic base? TBD.
TBD.
No, TBD.
We don't know, but I'm sure some news will happen on that, and we will tell you about it from a bowling alley or while skydiving or something.
We'll find some other way to just get out of the office.
I want to try foot golf.
Ooh, yeah. I think that's a game that Laurel made up, but claims that they have at this adventure zone that we're at right now.
All right, we should end this, guys.
All right, let's do it. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident... and John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd and cleanup batter? I don't know. I guess that's Sean.
That's Sean.
I'm just hogging the batting cage, that's all. I'm going to hit again while we're here.
All right.
If you're looking to score a home run, all you have to do is subscribe to the WPR Politics podcast on iTunes. It's also available on Google Play and many other podcast apps, and you can visit our podcast Hall of Fame and find all of our past episodes anytime you like at wpr.org/politics.